Hello, I'm Jill Burridge, and I'm joined today by David Arson, and we're going to take a look at some of the concerts and music that is coming up in the weeks ahead. So let's start with Saturday the 8th of June, when the Harts Philharmonia are performing at St Saviour's Church in St Albans, 7:30 start.
Yes, an orchestral concert to start the month in St Saviour's. Brahms, starting with Brahms' Tragic Overture. He wrote the overture in the summer of 1880. He chose the title to emphasise the turbulent and tormented character of the piece. It hasn't got any programme, as Brahms had set his face against such style of composition, but it's simply a concert overture, and it was intended to be a contrasting piece to the rather jolly academic festival overture, which is full of student folk songs and things. So these two pieces, the Tragic Overture and the Academic Festival Overture, were written in the same year. Brahms described, one laughs while the other cries.
Right.
And then, the next piece in the concert, we come to what is probably one of the most well-known compositions for the piano of all time, Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto, which will be played by Julian Trevelyan and conducted by Lev Parikian. A piano-playing friend of mine once described this as the first wrestling match in B-flat minor by Tchaikovsky, I suspect because it is fiendishly difficult to play. But there is a rather interesting story about its beginnings, because Tchaikovsky dedicated it to Nikolai Rubinstein and went to his house or hotel, wherever he was, and played it through to him. The reaction of Rubinstein was at first one of complete silence, which annoyed Tchaikovsky considerably. He likened it to somebody cooking a meal for a friend and them eating it in complete silence. Anyway, this silence was then followed by the most severe criticism of the whole piece, both piano and orchestral parts, and Rubinstein said that so much needed changing that it would be a completely different piece. Tchaikovsky, not surprisingly, was furious and said that he would not change a note of it. In fact, some of the criticism was not unjustified, because compared to the sort of music that had gone before, the piece starts in a different key. It starts in one key and carries on in another. And some of the piano writing is very difficult to hear, and it's certainly very, very difficult to play. The public, however, as often with pieces that the music snobs don't like, the public absolutely loved it from the start. The first performance was given by Hans von Bülow in Boston in 1875, and the piece was an immediate success and has become a staple of the piano concerto repertoire. So here, just to remind you, is the beginning of the first movement.
Very recognisable opening.
Indeed.
Of Tchaikovsky's,
yes,
Piano Concerto No. 1. And then back to Brahms for the end of the concert.
Right. The concert finishes with Brahms' Third Symphony, written in Wiesbaden in 1883, almost 6 years after the Second Symphony and after both the Tragic and Academic Festival overtures. It's the shortest of the symphonies, lasting around 30 or 40 minutes. Hans Richter, who conducted its first performance, proclaimed it as Brahms's Eroica. Well, poor old Brahms, still suffering from comparisons with Beethoven. And the followers of Richard Wagner even tried to disrupt the premiere, as there was a great public feud between Brahms and Wagner. I don't know whether the composers were involved in this, but certainly they had a bunch of followers who disliked the other one. We sometimes forget what musical life was like before recordings, discs and streaming and so on. So, you know, the only opportunity to hear the music was to go to a concert and hear it, of course. And I can't imagine what this feud between all these supporters of the two composers would have been like had we had social media at the time. I mean, that would have been quite something.
Beggars belief.
Yes, it does beggar belief. Anyway, I think it's a lovely symphony, full of the best of Brahms's warmth and tunefulness. And here is the expansive start of the first movement.
So Brahms Symphony No. 3 is the final work in that concert on the Saturday the 8th of June, the Hearts Philharmonia are performing at St Saviour's Church in St Albans, Sandpit Lane at 7:30. And another lunchtime concert then on the 12th of June, again, yep. St Peter's is
yep.
the venue.
This is the Icknield Ensemble. Anna Lahare is the pianist and a local group of five string players, I think. The whole thing is as a quintet, piano, violin, viola, cello, bass, I think. And there, another lunchtime concert starting at 1 o'clock.
Nice. Something, a little sort of thing to dip into if you've been in town or something and
yeah, of course.
Fancy something on the way home.
Absolutely.
Saturday the 15th of June, Carillon are performing at St Saviour's Church again. What are they doing?
Yes, interesting, because this weekend there are two choral concerts, Carillon in St Saviour's and the Lee Singers at the Academy Great Hall, London Coney. Amazingly, both these concerts have the same sort of flavour, which is Latin American, a cappella and swing music from the Lee Singers, and Latin American bocadillos musicales, which means musical snacks, from Carillon. The Lee Singers programme is definitely very light-hearted and includes such numbers as Let's Face the Music and Dance by Irving Berlin, Chattanooga Choo Choo, Begin the Begin, through to Besame Mucho and the one-note Samba. Now, the place, what used to be known as the London Coney Pastoral Centre, you can see it from the motorway, and there's a fantastic chapel, very impressive chapel.
Oh, I know.
Looking like a mini King's.
Yes.
And that's where they're doing the concert. So I think this lovely music there, the chapel has a lovely acoustic, and the added attraction of the gardens and some fizz, which they're offering you as well, should prove quite popular. And then the same night in St Saviour's Church, we're still on the 15th of June, Carillon are in St Saviour's, and their programme includes music from Spain, Catalonia and South America. The centrepiece of the programme is the Missa Criolla by Ariel Ramirez, an Argentinian composer who lived from 1921 to 2010. It's interesting because it was one of the first masses written in the vernacular after the Second Vatican Council allowed people to use language other than Latin. Ramirez is best known for this piece, and he said that it was inspired by a visit to Germany after the Second World War, and he met two of five sisters, sibling sisters, not nuns, who had regularly risked their lives by bringing food to Nazi prisoners. And he was inspired by this story, and this encouraged him to write a spiritual piece, which the Washington Post described as a stunning artistic achievement that combines Spanish text with ingenious instruments and rhythms. The album sold millions across the world. So an opportunity to hear an unusual and fascinating piece which uses guitar and drums. The guitar will feature in the concert and is played by Ian Kelleher, who will also play some Spanish guitar music. I've heard him in concert, and he's a fantastic player. So this little excerpt we're going to play you now will give you a flavour of Ramirez's Misa Criolla. Here is a bit of the Gloria.
En las alturas, pasa los hombres, pasa los hombres que ama el Señor. Gloria a Dios.
Lovely rhythms there, aren't they?
Sounds
a good double bill. Okay, so this is two concerts on the 15th of June. Carillon in St Saviour's Church in St Albans at 7:30, which is what the concert we were just talking about. And Saturday the 15th also for the Lee Singers in the Academy St Albans Great Hall, which is near London Colney.
Yeah.
Starting at 7:30, and that's a sort of summer soiree with slightly more lightweight material, you know, Irving Berlin type stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a nice lineup for both those venues. And we're into sort of music festival season as well, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And in fact, I talked, and some of you listening may have heard the interview I did with Tom Hammond, who's artistic director of the Hertfordshire Festival of Music, which is, as part of the festival, doing one concert on Monday the 17th of June in St Albans.
Yes, they're going to put on a concert at St Peter's Church, and it's called Adventures with Charlie Chaplin. As it happens, this is the first concert that the Hertfordshire Festival of Music has put on in St Albans. And it's played by an outfit called ZRI, early 20th century New York jazz, klezmer, classical things. ZRI comes from Zum Roten Igel, which was a tavern in 19th century Vienna, where Schubert and Brahms went to listen to folk music. Zum Roten Igel means the red hedgehog. So
right.
that's how they get to have the name ZRI. Interestingly, I went to a concert in which my son was playing in a funny music venue halfway down Archway Road in London, which is called the Red Hedgehog. And it must be this after which it's named. I never realised before. They must have named that after this place.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. They're going to show a Charlie Chaplin movie and accompany it with music, of which this is a little flavour.
Very unusual sort of concert to do, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rather
great
refreshing.
Mm.
Great. So that's Monday the 17th of June in St Peter's Church, 7:30. And on the 19th, which is obviously the Wednesday, there's another lunchtime concert also at St Peter's.
That's right. This one given by Harmony Musique. This is a group of players who I've heard before. They're lovely. Oboe, flute, clarinet, keyboard, cello. I don't know which particular combination they're bringing, but I can promise you a very entertaining hour with them.
Lovely. So that's 1 o'clock start, St Peter's Church lunchtime concert on Wednesday the 19th of June. And on the Saturday following that, so that's the 22nd, the St Albans Choral Society are performing. Again, St Saviour's, they're very busy at St Saviour's,
yes.
Aren't they?
They are, yes. Well, I think after the cathedral, it's the most popular concert venue,
yes,
for the place. So the St Albans Choral Society with the Orchestra Nova are giving a varied programme which ranges from Vivaldi's Gloria through Haydn and Mozart, both instrumental and choral, to Cecilia McDowell, and a world premiere of three soliloquies for trumpet and string orchestra by a man called Peter Fibrins, who is the director of music at Middlesex University. Mozart wrote his Misericordias Domini in 1775 as an offertory setting for use in the liturgy. Now, what that means is basically it's music used during the taking of the collection and the taking of the bread and wine up to the altar, the offertory.
Yeah.
And he wrote it in something of a hurry because he was about to go away when his employer, the elector, requested it for no better reason than he suddenly had a yen to hear some counterpoint. So he sort of summoned Mozart and said, I'd like some music for Sunday with some counterpoint in.
Oh my Lord.
We tend to forget how Mozart was treated by his employers. I mean, he worked for a guy called Archbishop Colloredo, who basically said to him, well, I don't want any church music lasting longer than about 20 minutes, which is why there's only one Mozart mass of any length, the great C minor mass. All the other masses are really quite short. And it was because he worked for this archbishop who just, you know, didn't like
want
too
more
much
than
music.
20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're also doing a Haydn little organ mass, or Missa Brevis Sancti Johannis de Deo, to give it its correct title. And it was written about the same time, 1775, and is scored for a soprano solo, chorus, two violins, organ and bass. It got its name because there is an extended organ solo in the Benedictus, which Haydn himself played at the first performance. As masses go, and Haydn wrote some wonderful masses, it's quite a short piece because Haydn telescoped the words so that different parts sing different bits of the text, but at the same time. Oh. So all the words of the mass are sung, but the whole thing doesn't take too long. I mean, typical performance lasts about 15, 20 minutes. So perhaps that was because whoever commissioned it said, I don't want it too long. So Haydn thought, well, I'm not going to not set all the words of the mass, so I'll just squash it all together. So, the orchestra will also play Mozart's Divertimento in D. This is Mozart at his most tuneful and entertaining. I'm sure you'll recognise certainly the Mozart style, if not the actual beginning of the piece.
Together, this sounds a very varied and
it
ambitious
is.
Concert.
Oh, wonderful,
actually.
Wonderful concert. Mm. And finishing with the Vivaldi Gloria, a very, very popular piece. It was written for the Ospedale della Pietà in Venice, which was an orphanage for girls. Well, that's what everybody knows it does. In fact, it was more probably a home generously endowed by the girls' anonymous fathers, the illegitimate daughters of Venetian noblemen and their mistresses.
Right.
The Ospedale, we know, did pride itself on the quality of its musical education and the excellence of its choir and orchestra. He wrote.
So they inherited their fathers.
Indeed.
Talents.
The fathers were very generous with their money, and that's what kept it going.
Yes.
Vivaldi, a priest, music teacher and virtuoso violinist, composed many works for the Ospedale, where he worked for most of his career. And he was, in his lifetime, very famous and successful, but unfortunately squandered his fortune in extravagance and was buried in Vienna in a pauper's grave, rather like Mozart, where he was buried. The score of the Gloria was a number. I remember talking about the Haydn cello concertos last time. The score was lost after it was written and only discovered in the 1920s and not performed until 1939 in Siena, where it was given by the composer Alfredo Casella in what he called an elaborazione, which is not what we call today an authentic performance, but nonetheless immediately very popular with audiences, and it's a favourite piece with choral societies because it's fairly easy to sing, it's great fun to sing, and it uses a fairly small orchestra and just two soloists. So we're going to play you a little bit, and it's the bit where the chorus comes in the famous first chorus.
It's a favourite of mine. I love that.
Oh, good.
It sort of has impact, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And
it's
lot
very
of
joyous.
Lovely variety within the piece. I mean, it's not more than 30 minutes, I think, the whole piece, but there's some beautiful, there's a duet and a solo in the middle. Lovely, lovely piece, yeah.
Oh, great. And the last concert that we're going to be talking about this time around is the following day, Sunday the 23rd of June, the de Havilland Philharmonic are performing at the Western Auditorium in Hatfield, the part of the university.
That's right. They're presenting a programme of light British classics, and it's an evening concert, 7:30. This looks at its origins in the theatrical and seaside orchestras of the 19th and early 20th century. Now, if, like me, you remember the BBC Light programme, you will recognise much of the content of this concert because there's music by Eric Coates, Edward German and Ronald Binge, who wrote the Elizabethan Serenade. Eric Coates is represented by his London suite and Sleepy Lagoon. Now, Sleepy Lagoon, of course, is best known as the theme music for Desert Island Discs.
Yes.
So everybody knows that. So this is a wonderful programme, a good old wallow in nostalgia for those of a certain age, if you like that sort of music. So here's the beginning, just to finish us off, the beginning of Eric Coates' London Suite.
Brilliant. So that's very popular, I'm sure. British light classic music at the Western Auditorium in Hatfield on Sunday, the 23rd of June, with the de Havilland Philharmonic. And the starting time for that is an evening one, 7:30. I didn't give you the roundup for the previous concert, which was the St Albans Choral Society. That was the previous day, Saturday, the 22nd of June, at St Saviour's Church in St Albans, again, a 7:30 start. So plenty to look forward to this month.
Oh, yes.
And we'll be back towards the end of June with a look ahead to July. So it's a busy time all around.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, David Arson.
Thank you.
And good listening, everybody.